And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First into Job 33, where the time has come for Job and you and me to be challenged by the Lord. To this point, we have taken inventory of a man who is going through the mill and thinking it was all about him. Wait, I got to repeat that line because most people don't get that. To this point, we've taken inventory of a man going through the mill and thinking it was all about him. But in truth, it was all about God making declarations. He was a part of it, but not the part he thought he was. So there's that. I have to be earnest here and honest. I think that most of my trials center around me. But scripturally and in the end game, there always seems to be something more or greater or higher elements than me. Yikes. Next, Elihu does something that's very honorable. He states clearly he's going to just keep talking. Do you know how you and I say, "Let me just say," when we already know we're going to say more? Elihu lays it out. Job, I'm going to keep talking. I'll be sincere and as respectful as I can, but I'm going to give you more than my 2 cents. I'm going to give you about 350. Okay. And then finally, I am innocent. I have not sinned. God is picking a quarrel with me. 3 statements in a row. Each one is incorrect as the previous one. I am innocent. No one is innocent except Jesus. I have not sinned. Everyone has sinned except for Jesus. Pipe down, Francis. You and I rarely know what God is doing. Capiche?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. We're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do that, when you get that brave thing going, when you make that call, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Let me tell you what it is, what it's like to talk to Dynamite D. It's like getting your sprinklers repaired after they have been broken for 3 years.
Oh, wow, Dave. I was about to say fancy, but then I have to take it back.
Yeah, yeah. See, so 3 years. It's like, well, we didn't need it before then. It's like, then we need it, and then we hadn't used it for 3 years, and guess what? They did work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I guess you got to keep things working active in order for them to work. Anyway, that's what it's like to talk to Dynamite D. Let me make this very simple. Maybe you've got a prayer request. That's why we're here. We're here to join you in faith. Because the premise is really Hebrews 10:25, that we are strengthening one another, encouraging one another, meeting with one another, and blessing one another as we see the day of the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. That's our core, right? That's what we do. And so if you've got a prayer request, bring it. We'll join our faith with yours, petition the Lord. We petition in submission. Which means we don't tell God what to do. We bring it for him. We ask him. That's why it's prayer. And we will also give you the opportunity, if you want to share a praise report, because we love praise reports. It's a fantastic opportunity for the redeemed of the Lord to say, I am redeemed. Here's what my King has done for me. And we want you to take advantage of those opportunities. Plus, we also want you to answer trivia if you can do that. And this is a really, really big one. Get ready, because if you don't know this one, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. Okay, here we go. Where was Jesus's first miracle? Okay, looking for the city or the area, not the event. Looking for the area. If you think you know the answer to that, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. You can also email david@hemustincrease.org. You can also send a paper airplane, but it will not get through the doors.
And we will not see it.
Well, that's another part of it, right? If they send a paper airplane, what happens? We're not going to see it, are we? Oh, well, that's bad. Somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Don. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Don, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good.
Awesome. Awesome.
We have a revival at our church this week.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. It's been really good.
What church?
First Baptist Dallas.
All right. So, people, if you're looking for a revival, that's a great place to go. Dr. Jeff is such a phenomenal teacher, such a phenomenal guy. Anyway, that's just my humble opinion, but I'm right. Anyway. all right, my brother, here we go.
He grows on me, I tell you.
Yeah, he's a great, great, great guy. All right, here we go. I'm looking for the geography, not the event. So I know you kind of get what I'm saying there. Where was Jesus's first miracle?
Was the wedding at Canaan?
That is correct, Amanda!
All right. You kind of scared me. I said, well, I knew, yeah. I knew what he did, but it was always called the wedding at Canaan. Yeah, okay.
No, it's the wedding was the event. Great. Cana of Galilee was the location. So we're just like, okay, got it. So that's his first miracle for those that don't know. John chapter 2, verse 11 will give you the identifying mark for that. Excellent job, my brother. Excellent work.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
God bless you too, brother.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Now we're rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep them doggies rolling, right? Okay. I'm not paying a royalty for that. All right. Here we go. So we're in Job. Now, we're actually at 33, but I had to skip back up to the last part of 32, and I got to tell you why, because there's some really interesting things. We covered one of them, but it's just super-duper important that you hear this, because I think it will help some people understand why the world and the worldly system, their thought process is so different than yours. So bear with me as I go through this. Verse 14 of Job 32 is kind of where I'm backing you up to real quickly. And there was a reason I want to do it, and I like the way that this translation uses it. And, you know, I use multiple translations. I might as well get used to that. So here it is. In Job chapter 32, verse 14, this is Elihu responding. And here's what he said. He said, if Job had been arguing with me, I would not have answered with that kind of logic. And I love that translation because there's something very important about that. It says, verse 15, you sit baffled with no further response. Should I continue to wait now that you are silent? Must I also remain silent? No, I will say my piece. I will speak my mind, surely. You know, and then we talked about this, for I am pent up and full of words. But I want you to not miss this one thing about the logic. He would not have responded to Job with the same logic. And you think, well, what does that mean? What is the same thought process, the same argument? What does that mean? We can go really deep in the woods, and I don't want to. What I want to say is that he would not answer with that kind of logic that the three friends used, it's amazing if you consider it, because it means that there are different kinds of logic or different kinds of reasoning or different kinds of processes. There are pearls of wisdom that are different than other pearls of wisdom. I'll just make this super easy. Remember, there's worldly wisdom and there's heavenly wisdom. There's worldly logic and there's heavenly logic. Do you understand that? Now, why is that important? Because then when they tell you that science tells us this, that, or whatever, but God's word says this, that, or whatever, you know, you have to make a choice. You either pick the worldly logic or the worldly grasp or the worldly wisdom, or you pick the heavenly wisdom. And you have to choose. And if you didn't think you have to choose, you're wrong. You actually have to choose. You have to make a choice of which wisdom you're going to follow. And scripture in James actually goes into a little deeper component talking about the wisdom that's from above, which tells you that there's wisdom not from above. And what is that? What is that wisdom? That wisdom is tainted with sin, no matter what. Does that mean everything that's ever said is wrong? No. But the end goal, the truth, that's where you've got to find, that's where you've got to live for eternity. And so when it says that, I wanted to go back to that because I skipped over it kind of fast and I really didn't mean to. And I wanted you to understand, there is a logic, a process of thought in the kingdom of God. In fact, it's exceedingly judicial to understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he, we've talked about this in the gospel, understand the gospel as a lawsuit, he was innocent, never sinned, but he died. He wasn't supposed to die, but he died. So it's all very judicial. It all makes a lot of sense when you go at it from that point of view. He wasn't supposed to die. He died, so he sued. And the understanding that, you have to understand, there is a worldly wisdom. Do you know what the worldly wisdom is? I'll just tell you right now. Ready? If you eat that, you'll be like God. Did he really say that? Get that?
And look how that turned out.
Oh, that is just like, yikes. Now you know why you got to get your BFN in the book. BFN, yeah, your big fat nose. I don't care. Everybody's got a big fat nose. Just call it that. Oh, some people don't. Oh, just enjoy the moment. I mean, seriously, get in the book, because it is the truth, and the truth is in opposition to the lie. And you can't know the lie. You can't catch every lie unless you know the truth. You can't study all the lies. You'll get caught up. You study the truth. You don't figure out which is counterfeit by studying every counterfeit bill. You know what's counterfeit by studying the real thing. Then you know if it doesn't reach the real thing target, it's counterfeit. That's how you do it. Stop. Stop that, Dave. Stop. Okay, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated. Knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Another fairly easy trivia question. Who built the first temple in Israel? Not the first altar. Who built the first temple in Israel? You guys should know that one. These are just primers to get you going. You're going to get harder as the week goes on. Just letting you know now. 972-445-0770. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. Also, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Who built the first temple? That's probably the way they said it, right? Who built the first temple? Okay, maybe they didn't say it that way. Who built the first temple in Israel? Somebody's ready to answer the call. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I'm gearing up. And my brain is doing okay, I think, in gearing up for what's coming. So hopefully it won't really be that different, which I don't think it's going to be that different. So,
well, I prayed for all of you yesterday.
Thank you, man. And I appreciate it. And I need you to keep praying for me, okay? So
I'll do that.
All right, here we go. Pretty straightforward. Nothing overly complex. Who built the first temple in Israel?
Solomon.
That is correct, Amanda!
They collected the material under David, but they built it under Solomon.
That's exactly right, which is kind of interesting when you bring that up, because it's like David did help with the preparation before his death, which does, you know, give leeway to some people saying laying up certain things for people beforehand. It's like, yeah, I mean, that happened. That's a pretty normal process. Hey, I want to pray over you because I got to pray for my grandson. And so with you here, this is a great launching pad for me, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
All right, let's do it. Father, we come before you right now and lift up my brother Gary. I just ask you not just to bless him with a great spirit of joy and with gladness, but he needs healing. He doesn't need, you know, he needs healing in his body in the name of Jesus. And I'm with him. I lift up my very own grandson who's going through a really tough time. He needs healing in his body and in his mind. We've got people in our congregation, in our fellowship, in our group here that need a touch from you physically. Even Jennifer, Lord, is not feeling good. We just pray you bring healing into her body. People are hurting all over the place, And the enemy's definitely taking advantage and discouraging people. We ask you just to pull that back. And with our brother Gary, just bring healing into his body. In the name and in the authority of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. And I will continue to pray for you. And God bless you.
You too, bro. God bless you. All right. Excellent job. Excellent job. Now, because he did an excellent job, that still does not spare everybody from what I have here in my hands. I know you thought it might, but you're wrong. All right. You ready? All right. Here we go. Here's your first joke. Okay. What happens when a frog's car breaks down? He gets towed away. He gets towed away. Well, that's not that bad.
That's a late response. That's good.
That's a good one. That's a good one. How about this one? What do you call two spiders who just got married? Newlywebs.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Okay. Newlywebs. Come on. Okay. All right. How about this one? What kind of can never needs a can opener? What kind of can never needs a can opener? A pelican.
Say what?
All right. Here's the last one. This is the third one. Your horse is very well behaved, the lady noted to the resting rider. Oh, that's true, he replied. When we come to a fence, he always stops quickly and lets me go over first. Does he get that because he stopped?
What in the wide, wide world?
Okay. I'm just going to move on. That took you a little bit to catch that, didn't it? See, so he's such a kind horse because he goes so fast up and then he stops and then the guy goes over the fence first. See, that's okay. When I have to explain the joke, we're in trouble.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we're in trouble. All right. We'll just move on now because we have things we got to do. Job chapter 33. That's right. Laugh. But verse 1. Listen, Job, to what I have to say. Now that I have begun to speak, let me continue. Can I just say something? This is awesome. I promise you, nobody has taught a sermon on this, though they should. Listen, Job, to what I have to say. Now that I have begun to speak, let me continue. just stop, okay? You know what I'm talking about. Your pastor gets up there. My pastor gets up there. I get up there. All right. In closing, and that just is code for you got about 30 minutes left. Closing? That's the longest closing that's ever happened, right? And so what I love about Elihu is he's very honorable. He states clearly, hey, I'm going to keep talking. And you know what? I'm just going to let you know what I have to say. And you know what? I'm going to say more. Just like this guy. And he's like, and you know what? I'm just going to keep on talking. I'm going to be sincere. In fact, his next line is, I speak with all sincerity. I'm going to be sincere. I'm going to be as respectful as I can. I'm going to give you a lot more than 2 cents. That's what he's saying. It's just like, he's like, you have to think about being there in the moment. He's on this roll. He's already done chapter 32 where he's kind of like said, you're nuts. Okay. And then he goes, and I'm speaking now. And you know what? I'm going to keep speaking. It's so classic. Now you recognize, or at least I recognize, and I think that we should recognize that Job is this whole time, and listen to me, because this has everything to do with each one of us. This whole time he's thinking it's about Job. The whole book, it's all about Job. And the irony is, it's not about Job. Job's in it. And yes, the book is called Job, not Job. But it's God using Job to make a point. So Job's a part of it, but he's not the part of it he thought he was. And for 31 chapters, he was complaining because it's all about him. I have a great message for you and a better one for me. It's not all about us. Once you get saved, once you are there, right? It's about you till you get saved in a certain sense. But now that you're saved, it ain't about you. And what the Lord allows in our lives, he allows for purposes to tell multitudes that we are clueless. And I think that all of my trials, I go through trials just like you guys. I just don't want you to get this weird impression. I don't go through that. That's absolutely ridiculous. I go through trials just like you. I don't think I go through any more than you do. I don't think I go through any less than you do. I think everybody probably gets about what they can about what they can handle before they, you know, jump off the bridge kind of thing. But here's what I'm trying to say. You go through it, and you think, oh, Lord, now if you would just have this happen, and if you would just coordinate this, and then you try to kind of orchestrate the trial, and then you're thinking, and then if this happened, or if this person would just say this, and then this person could say this, and then this could say, and that's us trying to move all the pieces on the board. It's like, it ain't about that game we're playing. It's about the end game. And it is often about something much more important, much more specific, much more divine. And we get so caught up in the quick pick, the picture that's right in front of us. And there's the Lord looking at every piece of the portrait. And we're like, look how I'm sitting. You know, that's all we're looking at. We're not even looking at the portrait. We're just looking how we look in the portrait. And we got to stop that. Because it shows a very intense me focus, which is very, very, very dangerous. So I like that Elihu said this, but keep in mind where he's coming from. He's already telling Job, this is not about you. And he's going to tell him that for about 6 chapters. And you think I'm going to pull back one single time? Because I need to hear this. You need to hear this. We need to hear this. It ain't about us. What's even funnier, it ain't about the government. It's about the country. It ain't about the country. It's about the planet. It ain't about the planet. It's about Jesus. And if we don't get that straight, we are going to be as dumb as the 3 people that were trying to advise Job who were speaking out of turn because they didn't have a clue as to what God was doing. So they spoke from their own set of logics and wisdoms. But they never asked God about it. So, ow. So, yeah, there's that stuff too, right? Yes. And we've got to shift it. We've got to really move it because I just get that impression or that sense that it ain't going to get softer before it gets harder. I just get that impression it could get a little more difficult. Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully before this show's over, we're done. I hope so. But if that does not happen, we have to have the right approach, the right attitude. Jesus said, watch and pray. We need to be alert. We need to be ready. And we need to recognize that it's not about being ready by looking in a mirror. Okay, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, it's Brother Stan.
Hey, Brother Stan. How are you, brother? We mentioned you a little bit earlier. I want people to keep on praying for you. How are you doing, and how's your wife?
Well, I want to answer the trivia question and give a praise report.
Oh, okay. So let's do the trivia question first. And there's a little leeway in this one statement because it has like 3 different really practical responses.
Yeah.
But let's just go with the ones on your heart. What kind of giver does God love? What kind of giver?
Cheerful or happy.
That is correctamundo! Cheerful, happy, generous, great-spirited. Any of those will work. But God just wants people that say, here it is, praise the Lord, I'm glad to give it. Not people that go, I got a 5, I think I can squeeze that out. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not the right kind of offering for God. We don't do stuff like that. That's bad, right? We do it with the right heart and the right spirit, right?
That's right.
All right, give me an update.
Update, wife's out of hospital. Changed woman, high in spirit, high in praise, high in energy. The Lord is just a God, and I appreciate him. In the witness of all the radio audience and you, Brother Dave, and everybody at the radio station, my God answers prayer because it was heavy on my heart on how my God, how my wife would behave after being released from the hospital. She is in wonderful spirits, and it's just a great thing that God has done for me because I had a lot of things weighing on me, you know, things that she used to do, paying the bills and all of that. That had to be on me, which I take that. You know, I get that. The vow said better work, shouldn't help, rich and poor. And so I'm proud of myself because I've done what I could to step in for my wife who was missing for those short weeks. And she's a sweetheart. She's changed. God has answered our prayer.
Hallelujah, brother.
Wow.
That is just a fantastic testimony. Everybody who's listening should recognize, and then we shoot this off to Gary right now, who's got his issue going on with his wife, Sheila. It's like, listen, God does stuff. Let's keep pushing until something happens. That's right. Yes. What a great testimony.
I'm going to listen, but Gary, now I'm praying for you and everybody else. The saints' prayers will be answered.
That's right.
God does answer prayer of his people, his children. I love y'all. Be blessed.
All right. God bless you, brother.
You're here when I need you the most. When I need you the most. I never need you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Here's your next trivia question. Who was the first person? Now, every one of these has been a first. I don't know if you noticed that or not. All the trivia questions, right? Who was the first person to see the risen Lord? Who was the first person to see the resurrected Jesus Christ? I have given this clue before. I will just say they're a really good candy. They have the same initials. Okay, that's all. I can't give it any more than that. I'm going to give it more than that. Before we have the person jump on the phone, I do need to send you up to the website because every time I forget, then I forget, and then I completely forget, and then I feel bad about forgetting. So let me tell you this real quickly, and then we will send you up. Bottom line, and I want people to know this, by the way. You don't have to agree with everything I say. I don't agree with everything I said 30 years ago. So, I mean, you'd be getting in line behind me. But you have to take that which the Lord gives to you or challenges you in or comforts you in or whatever, those things that can help you draw closer to Him. Use those things. That's number one. Number two, on the website, it's an opportunity to give. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7 says this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as they've decided in his heart, not reluctantly. No manipulation, people. Not under compulsion. No manipulation, people. For God loves a cheerful giver. If you're going to give it unto the Lord, have the right spirit and the right attitude about it, just like we are supposed to have the right spirit and attitude in everything we do that we engage with God in. Check it all out on the website. He must increase.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Goopa noopa. Goopa noopa. Manatuto.
I'm gonna have to have Jennifer do some more sounds though. I want like a greater variety.
I'm every time those sounds play, I'm in the studio just laughing.
It's so goofy. It's like so good. Like if we could smile that much watching the news, I'd tell you to watch it. But we don't. All right, let's have this person somebody ready to answer trivia questions. Send them on through. Knock knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, Will Rogers.
Hey, Will Rogers. How are you, sir?
I'm great, and I hope you're a whole lot better.
Thank you, sir. How are you feeling? How are you doing in general?
I think I'm just about back to 100%.
See, 99% is really good. 98% is really good, especially if it's like a test. That's really good.
Yeah. I agree.
All right, my brother. Here it is, straightforward. Who was the first person to see the risen Lord?
That would have been Mary Magdalene.
That is correct, Armando! Now, I know you knew it, but I had to give that hint about a really good, you know, a really good candy that has the same initials, which would have been M&M, right, for Mary Magdalene.
Well, I missed the hint. I turned the radio off.
See, you are a gamer. That is really good. That's a great way to do it. That's very bold to turning this off now. Here we go.
Well, I turned it off because I got home.
Yeah, and you didn't want it to rebound back to you, huh? That's great. But I love that. I love that you do that. You shut it off so that it doesn't, because some people call in and they forget, and then you can hear the echo, 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 echo,
right.
Echo. It's crazy, right? That is crazy.
Yep.
I am so blessed that you got that, and then you called in and shared with us. And I just want to make sure people are praying for you. Is there anything specific they can pray for you in?
Just dealing with this heat, man. It's miserable.
Yep. Well, I'm not in charge of that.
I know. That's what you say every time I mention it.
I know. But you know what? I can pray your air conditioning works better than normal.
Well, it's working pretty good right now.
Oh, there you go. That's
good. At least as of the last time I was inside. I hadn't gone in yet.
Yeah, you got to go in. That's the answer. Get inside. Excellent call, brother. Love you.
Oh, there's one more thing.
Oh, yeah. Fire away.
She didn't know it was him at first.
Right.
She thought he was the gardener.
Right, right. Which is really... Listen to that. That's a great point, because Jesus shows himself to people and people are like, are you the gardener? It's like they don't even recognize it, right?
Can you tell me where they put him?
Yeah, that's like...
I'm standing right here in front of you.
Yeah, right, exactly. They put him nowhere. That's excellent. Excellent. Okay.
No.
All right, brother.
Have a blessed day.
All right, you too. God bless you. Bye-bye. All right. That's, don't you love that stuff, right? Love that. Okay, so, okay. Oh, I just got a text from Rosalyn. Rosalyn needs prayer. She had to go to the ER yesterday. She's doing better, but she's feeling sluggish, so let's pray for her real fast.
And then also throw in Jan in there as well. She's going to leave, so she's been dealing with a little something.
Yeah,
as well.
Jennifer, right? Okay, so let's do it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we lift up Rosalyn to you. She wasn't doing good yesterday. She needs a touch in her body by the power of your Holy Spirit. It's not our wisdom or our power. It's yours. But we're asking you to manifest it in Rosalyn's life and bring healing into her life. And we're asking for our Jennifer. She needs healing, Lord. She's been going through it a little bit for the last couple of days. And whether it's a sinus infection or something else, just heal her body. Let her get that freedom. Because being sick is miserable, Lord. Everybody knows that. Everybody feels that. So pull these two wonderful women out of that situation. And let your healing power touch their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay? All right. So keeping them in prayer, which is something we should all be doing. Thank you. You don't just pray once and then just forget about a person. You pray for them. Push until something. Pray until something happens. Push. I want to thank Eric for that. That was always he said that one time. It was like the way he said it. I don't know. Just something stuck in my brain. Okay. Now, this next segment, we're going to do the history in the next one. Okay? But this next segment is... I'm going to take something that we taught on very similar like a week ago, and I'm going to kind of redirect it on purpose because guess what? I can. And so I'm going to – so here we are. We're in Job chapter 33, and if you will look at verse 6, there's just something really interesting here. I want you to catch this, okay? This is Job 33:6. Look. This is Elihu talking to Job. Look, you and I are the same before God. I, too, was formed from clay. So you don't need to be afraid of me. I'm not some great person to make you nervous or afraid. Wow. This is stop. This is just so good. It's so good. Let me explain why this is really good. Okay? I'm going to say it again. Then I'm going to pull it back so you can catch this. This is Elihu talking to Job. Job is a seasoned prince amongst people. Right? Elihu is nobody. Right? He's only somebody now because of this story with the Lord, right? Job was well known, right? Look at what he says in verse 6. Look, you and I were the same before God. I too was formed from clay. So you don't need to be afraid of me. I'm not some great person to make you nervous or afraid. Listen. Every one of us is one of us. In other words, I know that sounds silly. Every one of us is this person before the Lord who would not exist apart from the Lord, who has no great gift that wasn't given to us, who has no great wisdom that wasn't granted to us, who has no great anything that wasn't
bestowed upon us because of the greatness and the goodness of God. And Elihu is like going, look, dude, I'm just like you. I'm made from clay. I'm nothing special. I'm not someone great. In fact, for those that want to know about this, in Jeremiah, there's a warning from the Lord. And the Lord says in Jeremiah 45:5, should you seek great things for yourself, do not seek them. It's great things are coming, but not so we can be greater, but so that God gets the glory, right? We can believe that great things are coming, but it's not to elevate or exalt us as people, but to exalt Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so one of the things that Elihu does is he drops it down to that superhuman plane. I'm no better than you. I'm just like you are. That doesn't mean I'm not going to tell you the truth. Doesn't mean I'm not going to speak what's right. But I'm no better than you. And he's not trying to claim a superiority. And while I get rather emotionally from time to time upset about how dumb certain leadership goes and all that other stuff, I also recognize I am just a person just like them. And apart from the grace of God, there's nothing. My goodness does not extend beyond God himself. And anything good in my life is by the grace of God. And my breath is his gift. Therefore, I am entitled to nothing and appreciative for everything. And I will not claim a superiority outside of my identity as a child of the Most High God. In fact, apart from God, I am just as bad, if not 10 times worse. And what people need around us is not to know how superior we are. What people need to know around us is they need God just like we know we need God. That's what they need. Because up to the certain point, they haven't found him, and so they're just trying to fill the hole with themselves. Hey, you know that person that gives you a really hard time? Just a human, just like you are. What's the difference between you guys? God. God in you. In fact, in Colossians, it says that the big mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. You know why you're worth so much? Because of Jesus. And we need to have that compassion flow going. I mean, we need it. I get mad at I don't know about you guys, I get mad. I have to pray on a regular basis. Lord, please don't let me ask you to obliterate all them in a ray gun and send them all to some other planet. I mean, I got to pray. I got to do just like everybody else. Because I need to have the heart that Jesus had going, oh, man, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. I mean, that's just so good. Just like, and so he just like, and when he says it, and I know you guys, but you got to really grasp it. I know I'm doing a terrible job, but you got to hear it. Okay, look, dude, I'm the same as you are. It's form of clay. You don't got to be afraid of me. I'm just a person. Don't let me make you nervous or anything. I'm just trying to tell you what I can tell you. And the only thing I can tell you that's any good is going to come from God anyway, because I ain't got nothing apart from him. Now, in him, I have everything. But apart from him, I have nothing. How true is that? So true. All right, we'll take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What happens when he stops following Christ? You stop following him. And what about 2 Corinthians 2:14? Not that we rule over your faith, Paul said. What? Not that we rule over your faith. So this whole notion that there's this authority structure and that people have to obey, because if they don't obey in every nuance, they're going to be, you know, zapped or whatever. Ours was better. You know what our story was? Ken told the story about past congregations he had, how about people who disobeyed him and spoke evil about them, and how God killed them. That's what he told us. In fact, it was true that somebody out of the 110 people out of his three previous churches, we'll just leave that there. One person did die. Wow, one out of 110. They picked up a hitchhiker on their way to Flagstaff, Arizona. Hey, I pastored in Flagstaff. And the hitchhiker ended up killing the guy because the guy was a mental case. But Ken used that after his church was closed 15 years later, saying, see? What? But we were too dumb to know. So now you have the same guy that told us how to attack a Christian leader, telling us we can no longer attack Christian leaders unless he, the anointed of God, gives us permission. He's in charge, and we can't challenge him or question him. And, oh, by the way, if we talk about the anointed or touch the prophets of God, God will kill us, and he's him. So he's the one of the anointed, so we can't touch him. Even though none of that is scriptural, none of that is right, and all of that is wackadoodle. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our last trivia question. You guys should get this one as well, not including Jesus. Who was the first martyr of the New Testament church? Not including Jesus. Who was the first martyr of the New Testament church? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Kind of hard to believe this is a Monday. We're going to do our history, but I think that we're going to have an opportunity for somebody to answer first, perhaps. Yes, that is in fact the case. Let us send them through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is a sprinkler.
3 years, brother. 3 years. That's a long time.
I'll give 3 years to Dynamite Deep, ordained. And energized by the Holy Spirit sprinkler. Okay, the first martyr was Stephen.
That is correct, Amanda! Stephen was his name. Oh, that is correct. Excellent job there, my brother. How you doing?
Cool. Very good. I need a little prayer. I need a little... You know, I mentioned last weekend, like, a feeling discouraged. God will just revive me and give me the motivation. There are some projects I need to work. I've been a little lazy. I need a little motivation.
Got it. Let me pray for you.
Okay.
Father, we come before you right now, lift up Samson to you, and Lord, nothing gets us moving the way that you get us moving, because the scriptures make it clear that actually you are our energy, that we work with the energy that you give us. And so I'm just asking you to pour yourself into Samson, challenge him. He knows he's got to get to it, and he's you know, I don't know if he's avoiding it or just not wanting to get to it. Lord, drop all that stuff in his mind. Just let that go in his mind. And let him focus on you, and let him just be passionate about pleasing you and doing for you what he is supposed to do. And Lord, instead of getting discouraged, which is easy to do, let him, even as David did, say, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Let him operate with that same praise, hopeful, confident, expectant spirit that King David wrote about in the Psalms. Lift him up and strengthen him and energize him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hey, David, I would like to share one revelation that God gave me this morning, and I felt like it. The minute I got it, I said, I got to share with you so that everybody could listen. You know, like in the Old Testament, when the children of Israelite, like it, walked through the wilderness for 40 years, and God provided manna. And literally, manna means what is it? So at that time, it just dawned at me, like every day, every time when they collected the manna, it was a new manna. It wasn't a boring hamburger. It was the every day there was something new. So that's why they were saying, what is this? What is this?
I like that. I like that a lot. That's really good because they're not even sure what it is.
Yeah, because otherwise you'll be so fed up and bored eating the same stuff. So I believe it was every day there was something new. So that's what is it? What it is?
That's interesting. I like it. I like that thought process. I don't know if you've ever heard that Keith Green song where he talks about banana bread.
People giving me a chance to share.
Yeah, banana bread and then manna burgers. Okay, anyway.
Yes, manna macaroni, manna chocolate.
And manna cotton.
Manna peanut butter and whatever.
That's excellent job. Good job, bro. Good job.
Thank you, brother.
All right, God bless you.
And shalom. Bye-bye. Right,
bye-bye. Okay. We're a tad bit goofy.
I'm hungry for a little manna.
You want a little manna? see, that Manischewitz wine. See, that would be why that's... Okay, we'll just move on. Let's do the history real fast, and then I got to do the final teach. Let's do that.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, today is National Avocado Day.
I'll take that with a little chips.
Yep. Avocado chips. National Watermelon Day. One of my apps, probably my favorite fruit.
Amazing.
Noelle was, so she got me some fruit the other day. So she gets me the watermelon cut up. Okay, this is what I like, part of my diet. And she's really, really good. She's been really, really good for 6 months, except for when she got it the other day, she forgot to look and she picked up, I do the non-seeds because then I just, you know, kind of fired them in. And she picked up the seeded.
It was a little natural thing.
I wasn't mad or anything, but I was spitting out seeds for a while. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say. It's also National Jump for Jelly Beans Day. I like jelly beans. I like the jelly belly. I like those combination kind of weird ones. Those are kind of fun. 1969, first close-up picture of Mars. United States Space Probe Mariner 6 sends back pictures as it makes its closest approach to the planet. And then... 1971, Apollo 15 astronauts became the first to ride in a lunar rover. Okay, so there you go. That's exciting. Let's get to the text. We got to finish this text off. And I remember, I've been really nice the whole time. Job, some just like support and everything. Yeah, not everything I have to say in this, because not everything that Elihu had to say is all cheery. Okay, so you heard me say that first? Okay. Verse 8 of Job 33, you have said in my hearing, which means he's actually heard it, I have heard your very words, which means it's not hearsay, he heard it. You said, I am pure, I am innocent, I have not sinned. God is picking a quarrel with me, and he considers me to be his enemy. He puts my feet in stocks and watches over every move I make. Here's what Elihu said in verse 12. In this, you are not right. So before we get down the rabbit hole, because we don't have enough time to, let's make sure we understand. When Job said, I am innocent, I've sinned, God is picking a quarrel with me, these are three statements in a row, everyone is wrong. No one is innocent except Jesus. Nobody has not sinned except for Jesus, okay? And so in my introduction, I said, pipe down, Francis. Most of you should understand that's from the movie Stripes, when the guy was trying to be a real tough guy. And then he goes, pipe down, Francis. All right, so here's what it's about, right? Okay, look, right? God is not picking a quarrel with you. God is not picking you out. You don't have to say, leave me alone. You are not innocent. So let's just start with that right there. You have sinned. He's not picking a fight with you. He doesn't consider you his enemy. And when we say things like this, guess what? We are not right. And guess what one not right thought like that leads to? another not right thought. And guess what the other not right thought leads to? Another right not thought. So when we go through the trials like regular Christians and we let that first lie in, I'm getting picked on. Then we follow that up with a whole bunch of other stupid lies. It's like, that's terrible. Or when we do that, and we go, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything wrong. Yes, you did. I'm innocent. I haven't done anything wrong. No, you're not. You're not innocent. But God is not picking a quarrel with you. He's not fighting you personally. He's not against you. The universe is actually not against you. Ironically, since God created the universe is kind of for you. I mean, that's a real, it's like, wait. But Dave, it feels like everything in the world is twisting against me. That's how it feels. It sure feels that way. Like when you get a splinter, wait, tell me if I'm wrong. And you go, ow, that hurts so much. But it's this small little splinter piece of wood. And then it's, ow, cut my hand off. I mean, we do that kind of thing. All I'm trying to point out is this, right? We extreme it out and we need to own it. God's not picking on you, but you're not innocent. You're not pure. I've done everything pure. No, you haven't. That's why you got saved. Now, you can be pure. You can walk in innocence. You can do those things. But that's not how you were. You can't use that as a defense. God's not picking on you. And he doesn't consider you his enemy. You're his kid. Okay? He doesn't consider you his enemy. He considers you his child. But you still got to go through the discipline. Okay? All right. Done for that. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Going to take a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.